Nunam vimushta matayastava mayaya te.
Nunam vimushta matayastava mayaya te.
Yetvam bhavapyaya vimokshanam anya etoho.
Yetvam bhavapyaya vimokshanam anya etoho.
Archanti kalpa katarum kunapo kunapo pabogyam. It's chanti yat spasacham nira yepi rinam.
It's chanti yat spasacham
nira yepi
rinam.
Nunam.
Certainly.
Vimushta matayaha.
Vimushta matayaha.
Those who have lost their right intelligence.
Those who have lost their right intelligence.
Tava.
Tava.
Your.
Mayaya.
Mayaya.
By the influence. Of the illusory energy. Of the illusory energy.
Te.
They.
They.
Ye.
Who.
Who.
Tvam.
You.
You.
Bhava.
Bhava. From birth.
From birth.
Apyaya.
Apyaya.
And death.
And death.
Vimokshanam.
Vimokshanam.
The cause of liberation.
The cause of liberation.
Anyahetoho.
Anyahetoho.
For other purposes.
For other purposes.
Arachanti.
Arachanti.
Worship.
Worship.
Kalpakatarum.
Kalpakatarum.
Who are like the desire tree.
Who are like the desire tree.
Kunapa.
Kunapa.
Of this dead body.
Of this dead body.
Upabhogyam.
Upabhogyam.
Sense gratification.
Sense gratification.
It's chanti.
It's chanti.
They desire.
They desire.
Yat.
Yat.
That which.
That which.
Spasajam.
Spasajam.
Derived by touch sensation.
Derived by touch sensation.
Niraye.
Niraye.
In hell.
In hell.
Api.
Api.
Even.
Even.
Rinam.
Rinam.
Four persons.
Four persons.
Persons who worship you simply for the sense gratification of this bag of skin are certainly influenced by your illusory energy. In spite of having you, who are like a desire tree and are the cause of liberation from birth and death, foolish persons such as me desire benedictions from you for sense gratification, which is available even for those who live in hellish conditions. Purport, Dhruva Maharaj repented because he had come to the Lord to render devotional service for material profit. He here condemns his attitude. Only due to gross lack of knowledge does one worship the Lord for material profit or for sense gratification. The Lord is like a desire tree. Anyone can have whatever he desires from the Lord. But people in general do not know what kind of benediction they should ask from him. Happiness derived from the touch of skin or sensuous happiness is present in the life of hogs and dogs. Such happiness is very insignificant. If a devotee worships the Lord for such insignificant happiness, he must be considered devoid of all knowledge. Om Agana Chimirandasya Yananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmaye Sri Guruve Nama Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam mukam karoti vachalam pangum
lankhayate girim yat kripa tamaham bande sri guru nityanatharinam.
What quality is being manifest here by Dhruva Maharaj?
Humility.
And what other characteristics are we seeing as a consequence of his humility? Well, yeah, that's the humility part. But what else is manifest here? Yes, learning, understanding. Knowledge. And humility is a essential characteristic for a devotee. And it is a symptom of knowledge. Right? It's a symptom of knowledge. Not that we're, if somebody's learned, then they become proud. Well, this is what happens. Right? We think we know everything, or we do know everything. Actually, it's interesting. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita that a person who has a bona fide spiritual master should know everything. Right? It's in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter... Is it 4? 440. 440 it must be. Because I read it the other day, otherwise I'd forgotten it. But just because we're supposed to know everything doesn't mean that we do know everything. Right? This is a characteristic of somebody in the mode of ignorance. They think they know everything. Right? But we should know everything, or certainly the very basic principles of what the material energy is and why absorption in material activities is not beneficial for us. Right? What is it? Adyan. That a person who's intelligent or discriminating, and this is what Dhruva Maharaj is saying, a person who's discriminating, who has learning, understands the frailties, the weakness of pursuing material enjoyment, right? Because it doesn't make you happy, and it becomes a cause of bondage, or it becomes a cause of entanglement in the material world, and Dhruva Maharaj makes the point here, why pursue such a goal, material enjoyment, and it's nicely explained here. Yatspasajam niraye pi rinam. Why do people pursue happiness that's available in hell, and will take you to hell also, right? Or as Prabhupada explains here, You can get happiness like this as a hog or a dog. Right? And so why pursue that? The human form of life is not for pursuing the enjoyments that are readily available for anybody in any condition of life. Sukha dukkha. Happiness and distress are available for everybody wherever you go in the material creation. And that's the nature of material existence. And one should actually tolerate that, those ups and downs. Tangsta diksha bharata. So Dhruva Maharaj's advice is you can get anything that you want from Krishna. When I was a teenager, it was you can get anything you want from Alice's restaurant. Right? But of course, that's wrong. You can get anything you want from Krishna's restaurant. And of course, you know, Prabhupada says we are the kitchen religion. But we can get whatever we want from Krishna. We can get sense gratification, but that's just the beginning of it. The real purpose of life can be achieved by approaching Krishna. And this is why Dhruva Maharaj is so embarrassed. And of course we should be embarrassed too. Because just simply approaching Krishna for some material benediction, which will come and go, you know, happiness is followed by distress. Right? So we think, oh, let me be happy, but it doesn't last. Material life will always be a sequence of ups and downs. That's why Krishna says, you're not the body, you're eternal. And your eternal nature is Satchit Ananda, right? Our eternal nature is already blissful. We don't have to look for bliss. It's who we actually are. When we uncover ourselves, when we take the process of self-realization, we can get a far better or greater boon through realizing who we actually are. And automatically from that comes satisfaction and happiness, rather than looking for some material adjustment which can't be permanent anyway. But this is the nature of it. This is adyanta vanda kunteya nate shu ramate buddha. The buddha means somebody who's intelligent and understands the weakness of material happiness or material enjoyment. It doesn't last. It is even if one is able to take birth in heavenly planets and live for millions and trillions of years, still, it's temporary. Right? It doesn't last. And eventually there'll be, the demigods live for a very long period of time, but then in the final year their garland starts to fade, and that's how come they know, Prabhupada says, they know that their life is up. Right? Your garland starts to fade. So, you know, our garlands don't last longer than about 24 hours. They start to fade. So, this is the nature. This is the very nature of material existence. You know, my father is dying at the moment. He's my dying guru. And so people tend to lament, oh, he's dying. But actually it's not. It's good. In one sense, he and his relatives are saying, come on, let's get on with it. Next lifetime, he gets a better opportunity. The next birth he takes, he'll be, you know, we think dying, oh, what a bad thing. But actually it's not a bad thing. It means end of this body that's finished, and you'll get a new body. And then you'll be young and youthful, and then you'll be able to enjoy again. Right? But no. So we, in one sense, we can cheer him on. You can do it. But it's interesting. My father mentioned in January, he said, I want to die now because life is so miserable. But it's not so easy. Christian doesn't let you off so easily, right? That you just finish it. You know, this is the this notion of we can commit suicide and then everything will be finished and I'll be relieved of my suffering. This is just the beginning. Huh? This is just the beginning. Again, materialistic. Just seeing everything from an external point of view, not seeing the internal nature of the person, the spiritual identity. Right? This is why we have to, you know, if we're looking just with these eyes, these material eyes, we just see the externals. Why we have to see things from the point of the Shastra, from the point of view of the Shastra, is because we can see my father is eternal and he's just changing bodies. He's in the changing bodies exhibit and he's in the final stages. I was thinking of taking some pictures of my dad, but then I know he doesn't like Facebook. I took some pictures of him. He said, don't you put my picture on Facebook. This is why people take pictures these days. But it's a telling story, and it's painful also, because he's my friend and protector of me when I was a baby, but now I'm the protector. Or my brothers and I, we're looking after this old man now. I don't know whether my dad used to change my nappies or not. In when I was born, that wasn't fashionable, right? But now, you know, we've got to change his nappy. What happened? How embarrassing. And I'm thinking, it's only a few more years and I'm going to be wearing nappies again. No? That's embarrassing, isn't it? Something to look forward to. But that's the fate of all of us. Huh? We think, oh, death, what a horrible thing. Huh? But actually it's not. It's, especially for the devotee, it can be liberating. Because the devotees see the temporary nature of the material world. It's temporary. And we get the human form of life and we think, great, now I can enjoy it. But the more important responsibility that we get with the human form of life is that we can realize that actually we're not this body, especially in the human form of life. Not that it's meant for sense gratification, although automatically we will have our sensual requirements satisfied by Krishna. We don't actually have to worry about those things. What we need to worry about is that we make progress in understanding our original spiritual identity. And this is why Dhruva Maharaj is lamenting. He's lamenting. I came to you looking for material things. But that's not the real purpose. And how was, just to think about it, how was Dhruva Maharaj's life successful? How did he make a success of his life? Why was he successful? Yes. Who was his original, who was his Vatma Pradashika guru? Huh? His mother. Yes, his mother. He had the opportunity to associate with devotees. Right? And the first devotee was his mother. And she said, you know, go to the forest. And of course, going to the forest, following his mother's instructions, he then met Narada Muni, the best devotee. Right? This is the real purpose of the human form of life. is to meet the devotees. Huh? This is our purpose. Our purpose in life is to actually meet the devotees. And then upon meeting the devotees, we receive instructions on the real purpose of life. Isn't it? This is what happens. And then they put you on the roster. But that's okay. That is actually the perfection of existence, is to render service to Krishna. That's the perfection of existence, is to be engaged in Krishna's service. Isn't it amazing? We want liberation. In other words, we just want to do what we like, right? Do what you want to do, be what you want to be. Yeah, maybe not. You're more pious than me. But that was the philosophy of the 60s. I'm free. Actually, but you know, the songs that they were singing, I'm free and you can follow me. But actually, you're not free, and it's just a blind man leading other blind men into a ditch. Right? The ditch of sense gratification. And which ultimately means suffering. You can sing, I'm free, but no matter how much you sing, I'm free, you're still caught up in the modes of material nature. Right? And as a consequence, then, jamna mrityu jaravyadhi, we shouldn't be surprised that life is full of tests. But we shouldn't be surprised. But how many of you here have been to university? Right? Yeah, okay. How did you get there? It was just a series of tests, right? Assignments? Oh no, I've got another assignment to do. Right? Another test, another exam. Oh no, another exam. Right? But why did you keep pursuing all of those assignments and doing all of those exams and facing all of those tests? Why did you do that? Because your mum and dad told you to. Huh? My mum and dad told me too as well, but I couldn't do it. And, enough of this. But why do we do it? Why do we do those assignments and tests?
Get a job.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, more tests. But yes, ultimately, but before that, why do we do those tests?
Pass.
To get what? Get a degree. Yeah, to be qualified. You want something. And it's valuable, right? A degree is valuable. Mind you, it's not the be-all and end-all of life. Right? But we work hard for that, for the purpose of achieving a goal. And in the process, we voluntarily sit the exams and submit ourselves to the tests to be qualified. Right? And similarly also, the devotees submit themselves to Krishna's tests. Why? Why do we submit ourselves to Krishna's tests voluntarily and even embrace them? Why do we do that?
To become
a pure devotee, ideally, right? Which means we have to gain knowledge, and that means realization of where we're really at, right? And that will then automatically ensure qualities like humility, tolerance, patience. And you need those. You need to survive in the material world. You need those things. What to speak of the spiritual world? Huh? We need And those qualities, if everything's smooth sailing, what happens? If everything's going smoothly, what happens? Complacent.
Rough water, maybe.
But if everything's smooth, everything's easy, what usually happens? You get proud. You think everything's okay, I'm cool. And you get proud. It's what material energy makes you think. You're the doer. And everything's happening because of your wonderful qualities. Your hard work, even. You're such a good person. You're such a Dharma Raj. Challenges and tests are actually embraced by the devotee, although it is painful sometimes. But we have to learn that the pain is actually good for us. They say, no pain, no gain. Is that right, Virajandra? No pain, no gain. Even sometimes we have to look at, because who likes problems? Nobody. Who likes tests? Even though we go to university and we do our assignments and we work hard, nobody likes to do their assignments. Well, maybe there may be some rare souls. Anybody here who likes doing assignments? There's sometimes. I ask people, who liked going to school? And somebody puts their hand up. And I think, whoa. What's wrong with this guy? I prefer to play as a child. I prefer to do what I liked, not what the teacher liked, not what my parents told me to do. But we still do it because we know it makes us qualified. So Dhruva Maharaj is repenting. And this is, you know, that that mood of humility and sobriety that comes from that humility is a desirable quality for a devotee and of a devotee. It's very attractive. It's an emblem of learning, actually. So, Dhruva Maharaj is showing the example of a very exalted. This is a symptom of an exalted, because Kanishtha Adhikari thinks I'm the best devotee, right? Whereas the topmost devotee thinks I'm the worst devotee. But this is a symptom of a devotee who's imbued with goodness, or actually Shuddha Sattva, goodness, in that he's regretful of his material motivations, because even though there was a desire to be happy, it was focused on things that actually don't make us happy. Real happiness comes from self-realization, not accrual of material possessions. But the most valuable possession that we could hope to gain is by passing the tests and the trials that Krishna presents for us in our spiritual life, and recognizing them as tests. And then instead of thinking, oh no, not another two, when is this going to stop, embracing it and realizing that, you know, in a material world, even for Krishna's devotees, life is sometimes full of, not sometimes, all the time, full of struggle. It's kind of a bit of an impersonal, you know, the desire for no struggle and for no problems is a little bit of impersonalism and a desire for liberation. Is let me get out of this place and not have to have any troubles or any problems. Whereas the mood of a devotee is, Krishna, whatever problem you want me to face, for your service, I'll do it. Not, Krishna, can you please stop these problems? It's kind of like saying, no, I don't want to do any service anymore. Too much trouble. Huh? Just like at the moment, you may or may not be aware of it, probably not aware of it, but the neighbours are waging a campaign against us. Right? And it's serious. We've been in these issues before. There's too many devotees, and they're making too much noise, and there's not enough parking spaces, and what else is happening here? The Hare Krishnas are being successful. And we've outgrown our shoes, if you like. Yes, and we're having a good time, and other people don't like that. Yeah, but they also like the sleep, where we like to make a lot of noise. Different things. So it's a struggle. And I'm thinking, oh no, not another struggle with these mugs. But, you know, well, I remember a time, you remember a time, Gyana, when we weren't able to have the Sunday feast in this temple. And that is a possible outcome. Would you believe? Could you imagine? Right? Was before. Do you remember that? We used to have the Sunday feast at Gopal's. And Gopal's was in Flinders Lane, downstairs, in the basement. It was a pretty big facility, though. Could you imagine that? No, you can't, because it sounds unimaginable. Why would they do that to us? We're the Hare Krishnas, right? The Hare Krishnas are the best people. Krishna tells us. Apichetsu, even if we do bad things, we're still good. Right? We know that. We worship, like today's Lord Nisringadev's appearance day, right? He kills demons. Right? And we worship the God who, you know, actually was brought up I've mentioned this before, in the court cases with the cult. We were accused of being a cult, you know, and the lawyer said, these people worship a God who kills parents. Who kills the parents of the devotees, right? They worship their God. They like it that he kills their parents. They glorify him. Hiranyakashipu, Vaksaha, you know, destroy Hiranyakashipu. Right? And you know, and sometimes people say, "Oh, well, how can Krishna be all good when he likes to kill people? Well, how can God be good?" And this turns a lot of people into atheists or at least agnostics when they see difficulty in the world. Right? They say, "Oh, there's so much." My mum and dad had this. Used to take me to church all the time, but then in later years, I noticed that they weren't going to church anymore. And I said to my mum, "How come you're not going to church anymore?" And my mother said, if God is good, how come there's so much suffering in the world? Right? And I said to my mum, it's not God's fault that people are misbehaving and they get the reactions for, you know, they get what they deserve. Huh? But people have a difficulty. If God is all good, then we should all just be, you know, just living in heaven. Huh? And we think like that sometimes too. Druga Maharaj is saying, you know, I thought that worshipping you was to solve my material problems. And that's what we think too. You know, I thought that when I became a devotee, all of my problems would be solved. In fact, that's what the devotees told me. If you become a devotee, all your problems will be solved. Huh? But then, I just got more problems. What a rip-off. There's Hare Krishna saying, chanting, dancing, feasting, right? No problems. No worries. Huh? But then I discovered that all I got was more problems. But that's the nature of life. Krishna tells us. Jamma mritya jara vyadhi. That's what happens. The problems are solved when we take advantage of the human form of life and realize problems will always come and go. But our original spiritual position is eternal. When you get that, it can't be taken away from you. Right? Nityam. It's eternal. One of the reasons why, even if a devotee has difficulties and has to face problems, they know that Krishna is arranging that for their benefit. Just like Hiranyakashipu and the other demons that got killed by Krishna, it was for their good. Right? That's amazing, isn't it? Hard to imagine. The Bhagavad Gita is spoken preceding the battle of Kurukshetra where millions of people were killed. Right? Right? The most elevated transcendental spiritual treatise ever spoken was prior to the battle of Kurukshetra. And of course we think God is peace and love. Right? God is peace and love. That's what I thought the Hare Krishnas were all about too. Until I went on my first Harinam. We got attacked by the demons. Then I realized, whoa, this is serious business, this stuff. But Krishna's chastising, like Hiranyakashipu got killed. Right? Torn apart. But we celebrate that occasion, right? We celebrate the occasion of Hiranyakashipu's demise is the it also happens to be the appearance of the Lord. It's a very interesting pastime, right? Very interesting pastime. And it's mentioned that in the Bhagavatam, it's mentioned that the Lord's affection is sometimes pushed or shown through anger, right? Sometimes through love and affection, but also through anger. Hiranyakashipu was liberated, again like Dhruva Maharaj, by the mercy of a devotee. And also Narada Muni was involved too, right? Because Narada Muni was instructing Prahlad Maharaj when he was in the womb of his mother. Is that right? Yeah? Narada Muni always involved in some stirring of the pot. Right? And just look at Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, even in the womb, was being threatened. The demigods thought, whoa, this is Hiranyakashipu's son. We better kill him quick. Right? This guy is going to be such a demon that we should kill him straight away. Isn't that amazing? Huh? And of course, Prahlad Maharaj, when he was born, he wasn't a demon, he was actually a great devotee. But then that thoroughly disgusted his father, who was a big demon. Right? But because Prahlad Maharaj was so dear to the Lord, then he ultimately liberated Hiranyakashipu, his father. Right? Because nobody had ever seen such a form of the Lord before. And just to protect his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, not only Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Brahma, right, because Lord Brahma had given all of these silly benedictions to Hiranyakashipu. Right? Krishna never gives us things that are not good for us. But sometimes the demigods, when they're worshipped, they give benedictions to people that are not actually good for them. Right? So we should be thankful that we have such a kind protector who doesn't give us just what we want. Right? We think, oh, Krishna, how come life is so tough? Why don't you make life easy for me? Right? But he does that just like, you know, our parents sent us to school. And we didn't want to go to school. Actually, I lived in a school, so I wanted to be in school. And my mum was happy that I went to school because she was looking after my little brother. My little brother didn't like to go to school, actually. I didn't mind going to school because it was boring at home and there was kids to play with. And we lived in the school, so I just opened up the back gate and walked into the school and went to class. And but my little brother, my younger middle brother, he didn't like going to school. And in fact, he used to come home so angry that my mum would put a drink and a sandwich out on the front veranda. And he had to eat it before he could come inside because he'd be so angry. So we should be happy that we have tests. Just like in school, you are tested. And just like your parents, you don't want to go to school. I don't want to go to school. I want to play. Go to school. Now, do parents do that just because they like to torture their children? Right? Just like, you know, yesterday I handed out all the prizes for the kids for their Saturday afternoon drilling by Prishni. Right? No talking in my classroom. Right? And then they do this thing where they clap. If there's talking, then they start clapping. And then eventually everybody's clapping. And then everybody's clapping. They stop and then it's quiet. Right? It's just parents torturing kids, basically, right? And then you have to stand up in front of everybody and recite a whole bunch of slokas. Right? Now, why do we do that to our kids? Is it because we don't like them? We send our kids to school, they don't want to go to school, but we do it. Why do we do that? Have you worked it out? For your benefit. Yeah, for our benefit. Our parents discipline us for our benefit. No, you're not allowed to play in a cupboard under the sink. Right? Why not? Hey, come on, I should be able to play. Life is for playing. Okay, play outside, not where the poisons are. So, our parents discipline us to go to school, our teachers discipline us. Why? Actually, that's a show of affection. And so when Krishna disciplines us, that's also a show of affection. We think, oh, mum and dad picking on me again. Right? Got to do my assignments. Got to do my homework. My dad told me once, he said, I knew that you never did any homework. Even if you were sitting at your desk, making out like you were doing your homework, you weren't actually doing it. That's probably why I didn't do very well in university. But we should embrace the challenges and the difficulties that are imposed upon us, because ultimately we should know and we should recognize that that's Krishna's affection for us, and he's testing us in order to make us a better devotee. And we see that in the case of Hiranyakashipu and the other demons. When Krishna tests them through chopping off their head or pulling out their intestines or whatever, that's ultimately for their benefit. It's the glorification of a devotee, actually, because this pastime of Lord Nrisimhadev, it's so wonderful in that it shows the glories of the devotee, right? Even when they're a demon, because it's mentioned, you know, out of fear, out of hate, you know, devotees can get. Now, not that we should perform our devotional service in the fashion of Hiranyakashipu, right? Hiranyakashipu is always thinking of Lord Vishnu and he hates him, but he gets purified by that hating, right? But we shouldn't perform our devotional service like that. It should be Krishna or Shilanam. It should be pleasing to Krishna. This is just Lord Hiranyakashipu is. The backstory is Hiranyakashipu is actually, and Hiranyaksha are actually Jaya and Vijaya, right? And their being demons was actually devotional service for three life. They were given an option, and why we shouldn't offend devotees, right? They've offended the Kumaras. Chatush Kumar, right? The four Kumaras. They offended them and wouldn't let them into Vaikuntha. And they got a curse. But they were given an option. It was, what was it? It was seven births as devotees or three births as demons. Which would you prefer? And they said, okay, since we'll get back home, back to Godhead quicker by being demons, we'll go the short route back home, back to Godhead, right? But they were then big demons. But that's a special case of devotional service. We shouldn't think, oh, I can be a demon and go back home, back to Godhead at the same time. No. It's to illustrate the principle that if one's thinking of Krishna, even in animosity, then one will be purified. But that's a very special case. And it demonstrates that any contact with Krishna, even if we're being challenged and it's difficult and we're struggling to make progress, actually it's for our benefit. Right? Our notion of good and bad in the Lord is wrong. There is no good and bad in Lord Vishnu. There's only good and bad in the material world. We experience good and bad because of that material association. But in the case of Radha Ballabha, when things are bad, it's good, and when things are good, it's good. Well, this is the algebra, or the, what do you call it? The calculus. Negative is positive. Positive is positive. When you engage in devotional service, whereas we tend to think from the material perspective, oh, the neighbours are giving us a hard time again. Oh, that's bad. What? We should think, no, it's good. What good is going to come out of this? means we have to work constructively to tailor our behaviour a little bit so that we don't upset the neighbours. If we don't, then the council will say you can't do this or you can't do that or you can't do the other thing. And then we'll be forced to have to do it. Right? It's a bit of a test. And then people don't take it, you know, like we've got a sign on the door that says don't open up the door when your kid turns on because it upsets the neighbours. But, you know, who reads it? Certainly not the people who walk out the door. They think, oh, I'm a devotee, I don't have to follow these rules and regulations, right? Just like in festivals, we want the devotees to come in this door, come around and go out. But everybody wants to walk in the door that's the exit. Hey, come on, I'm a devotee. Devotees are special people. Prabhupada said so. Right? Why do I have to line up with the plebs? Huh? I'm special. You guys have to follow the rules. Huh? It's a disease, actually, that can be, anybody can be afflicted by it at any time. Huh? That we think we're special. Yeah, I'm a devotee. Sadureva samantavya. You should respect me. Because I'm a devotee. So, Dhruva Maharaj is showing this humility. That I'm a very embarrassed devotee. Because I approach you with material motivations for things of little value. And I guess the verse must be coming up here pretty soon. If it's where he says, you know, I was looking for broken pieces of glass and you gave me valuable jewels, right? Chintamani. So becoming a devotee means radically changing one's perspective on life and having to give up the idea, well, there's nothing wrong with being special because we're all special, actually. It's a fact. We're all special. But not thinking that because I'm special I'm better than everybody else. Or that because I'm a devotee, therefore I'm the best. Or I'm a devotee and therefore life should be easy for me because I'm special. And Krishna's looking after me. But we shouldn't think when things go wrong that Krishna's not looking after us. That's a big... Because we lose faith. We think, oh, hey, I'm a devotee and I've got problems. Ah, Krishna, what's happening here? Huh? So it means radical adjustment of our consciousness to this mood of servant, and that means servant of everybody. As a consequence of that, then developing this mood of humility and even repentance that we see here in Dhruva Maharaj. And we even see in Prahlad Maharaj that this mood of dependence upon Krishna and this surrendered, being a surrendered soul. And even regretting our material existence is what Dhruva Maharaj is doing. He's regretting that association with the material energy has brought out these material qualities in me, associating with the wrong kind of people, and then associating with the devotees, and then pure devotees who see themselves from a proper perspective and are acting in that position of being a servant. And as Prabhupada says, just because people call us Prabhu doesn't mean that we're the master. right? We're the servant. The master means, Prabhu means controller of the senses, controller of the mind and the senses. And that mood of a devotee is manifest in that mood of being a servant. We're able to control our mind and senses because we engage the mind and the senses in the service of the master of the mind and the senses, and embrace the challenges of spiritual life, because we know that the benedictions of spiritual life far outweigh the any benedictions that we might receive from success on a material platform. And so that's where our desires should rest, in making progress in our spiritual life and embracing the challenges that Krishna presents before us, not being discouraged and disheartened. If it looks apparently like a setback from the material perspective, it's just from the material perspective it looks like that, but from the spiritual perspective it's an opportunity to surrender and to be then properly situated in our original position as a servant of God and a servant of the devotees. Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions? Yes. Yeah.
I remember one time, Jada Thakmaraj came to Melbourne. And there wasn't a garden made for him.
Okay.
Everybody's running around the place, you know. Where's the garden? Where's the garden?
Yeah.
And then he came up, he said, Radharani's got the garden. From right around his hand,
He knew where the garlands were.
You see, the Radharani is always there, ready to give the garland to the devotee, you know.
Well, sometimes we take it from Prabhupada too, up in his room. If there's a devotee coming, we don't have a garland. For those of you who know what the process is, go and get the garland from Prabhupada upstairs. It's easier to get to than Radharani's garland is special.
Holding a garland.
No, I know what you mean, and it's a fact. But
who is that garland for? Is that for
Krishna?
For the
ooh, good question. They're all ultimately going to be prasad, and that prasad is for the devotees. Right? But for Krishna's pleasure first. Yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine Jayapataka Maharaj coming here and nobody made a garland.
Yeah.
Woo. Must have been early on in the piece. Now they make, 20 garlands for it. Too many garlands. I lament the loss of his association, because we used to have so much fun when he came. But hey, it's Krishna's arrangement. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. But what to do? Jayapataka Maharaj is preparing himself for a liver transplant at the moment. And, Hare Krishna. Anything else?
Mani Maharaj was the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, but why he has still the demonic qualities? Like, he was still had a strong desire to capture the whole universe.
He's a demon.
But he was the
he's a demon, but he's a devotee. Like me. Yeah? He's a demon. We can tell by his behavior that he's a demon, but he's also a devotee. Right? And then we scratch our heads, what's going on here? Which proves that bhakti is transcendental to the mode of goodness, to the mode of passion, to the mode of ignorance. Right? And Prabhupada explains that where there's a predominance of the mode of goodness, then something, you know, the devotees thrive or the demigods thrive. Where there's a mode of passion, then the asuras and others can become prominent. And also the mode of ignorance, similarly rakshasas and others become prominent. So according to the time factor and the influence of the most mature nature, these qualities, they're oscillating, right? And in that particular case, the demons were powerful and prominent, with Bali Maharaj as their king, as a leader. But he was actually a devotee. And so when push... So as a demon, he was naturally inimical and an enemy of the devatas, right, the demigods. Yeah, but wait. There's time. The time factor reveals everything, right? So the time factor revealed his personality as a demon in his conflict with the demigods, right? And now he was successful. Why was he successful? Why was Bali Maharaj ultimately successful?
Because of the blessings of the Brahmanas, he pleased the Brahmanas.
But before that? Before that? What happened? The demigods offended their guru. Right? And because of that offense, they lost their prominent position. And because Bali Maharaj pleased his guru, right, he became powerful. But, interestingly enough, he displeased his guru, but he pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and ultimately was successful. But he lost all of his, you know, in the process lost everything. Right? This is just in case you think you'll be a devotee and be wealthy. Forget about it. Look at Bali Maharaj. Right? He was wealthy, but then because he pleased his guru, he became wealthy. But when it came time to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his guru said, "Don't do it." Right? Don't do it. Which is obviously the antithesis of what your guru should be telling you. No? And his guru said, "You'll lose everything if you surrender to him. You'll lose everything." But did Bali Maharaj care? Yeah. More important is that I serve Krishna. This is the mood of a devotee. Even if I lose everything, my reputation, and I'm a dog anyway, so who cares? Huh? Interesting. You know, in the Krishna Katamrita Bindu, this Ekadasi that came out, Prabhupada said, if you're not attracted to Krishna's pastimes, then you'll be attracted to the pastimes of the dogs. Right? And he said, look at people, they can't serve Krishna, they go and serve a dog. How many people do you see walking around Albert Park with a dog and they're carrying their poop bag? Right? That's disgusting, isn't it? Right? But that's what they're forced to do. They don't want to serve Krishna, but they'll serve the dog. Right? So, and if you're serving a dog, what does that make you? You're lesser than the dog. So we want to become Krishna's dog, right? That's why we have our... This is what this is. If you don't know what this is, this shows that you're Krishna's dog. It's called a dog collar. Right? It's like Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, I'm your dog. I'll sit at the door of your house, his house, but he's not thinking it's his house, it's Krishna's house. And I'll bark at any of the enemies of your family and I'll protect them. I'm your dog. So the devotee is prepared to give up anything and everything. Even if it means Bali Maharaj was, you know, the king of the whole universe, practically speaking. Like Amrish Maharaj was the king of the whole universe. Very powerful, extremely powerful personality. But he gave that up for the opportunity to surrender. And so when despite the external coverings, whether we're Indian or Australian or South American, Nepali, whatever we are, whatever the external coverings, whether we're demon or demigod, right, Dharmaraj or Pashandi, when the opportunity to associate with it, and this is how it manifests for us, we've got so many material coverings, but then when we get an opportunity to associate with the devotees, then we give up that prior conception and we identify purely with the identity of the spirit soul, and as a spirit soul, as a servant. A servant of God, what's going on there? I turn my phone off because my phone reads out text messages when they come. I didn't want you hearing my text messages. Okay, I think we should finish here. What do you think? Well, there's no breakfast. Huh? Breakfast is a little later on. Any other comments? Realizations?
You touched upon the problem of evil in the world.
Mm,
In the presence of God.
Yes.
And here in this verse, there is a reference to Dvam Maya, by the influence of your external illusory energy.
Mm.
So if one looks at it from the problem of evil, as is in the Abrahamic traditions, they may point out to this is that all the evil in the world is actually instigated by God through his evil influence.
Mm.
So how do you respond to something like that?
Well, same with this notion that, if God's all good, why is there evil? And so what's needed then is an understanding of karma. And it needn't be very complicated, As you sow, and it's in the Bible, as you sow, so you shall reap. Right? But the problem with that is a person that's imbued with pride can't acknowledge, they've got to blame somebody else for the problems. It can't be my fault. Right? It's got to be somebody else's fault. Very often we see, even as devotees, we see the agent of our karma as the cause of our suffering. So somebody's criticizing us or somebody's defaming us. Somebody's creating obstacles for us. We think they're the cause of our suffering. But actually, the behavior of that person is ultimately sanctioned by the super soul. And so Krishna says, Ishvara sarvabhuta nam hridesha juna tishtati, that I'm situated within the hearts of everybody and I'm directing the wanderings of all of the living entities. And so in pride, in a mood of pride, we can't accept that reaction that we're getting is our responsibility. It's got to be somebody else that's doing it, not me. Because I'm, and you know, like sometimes we say, oh, he's just a little baby, oh, innocent. But it, hey, hang on a second. He's taken birth in a material world because he's a rascal, not because he's a saint. Okay, maybe he's a saint, but that is yet to be proved. Right? That's yet to be proven. But we think, you know, oh, such a little baby, oh, goochie, goochie, goochie. You know, but we don't know what the little rascal has done. Right? In fact, you know, our children may not become devotees. And we think, hang on a second, I'm a devotee. He should be a devotee. Huh? But interesting, look at Prabhupada's children. Even some Bhaktivinoda, yeah. You know, it's one has to learn to see through the eye of Shastra, not through our material eyes. And that means having an understanding of karma, having an understanding of the super soul, having an understanding that Krishna witnesses everything that we do. And this is amazing, because we think he's a person, but I can't do that. How can he possibly do it? Huh? But the things that Krishna can do that make him the Supreme Personality of Godhead is just, it's achincha. It's beyond our conception. We can't understand. So, you know, it really is ignorance that we're not able to appreciate that we're receiving the reactions to our past activities. Now, and the devotees especially, we think, oh, I chant Hare Krishna, that means all of, Krishna says that all of my sins, more sins than I can commit, have just been obliterated. Right? So, I thought I was on a good deal here. Right? But now I got another problem. So what's going on? So, and Krishna says, when you take initiation, I accept you as good as myself. So that means I should be transcendental. Krishna's transcendental. If I'm as good as Krishna, then that means I'm transcendental. And I shouldn't have any reactions to, I shouldn't be having any problems. But what we understand is that even though there are difficulties in life, their reactions to our past misdeeds or our good karma too, because life is not all bad, right? There are moments of exhilaration, although not many, unless we're in the kirtan, right? You see the Hare Krishnas in the kirtan and they're just behaving like idiots by madmen, isn't it? They're jumping up and down, they're sweating like animals. They're shouting out, right? All sorts of silly things. Right? They roll on the floor. Well, we don't roll on the floor. But close to it. Looks insane. In fact, people do think we're crazy. You're crazy men and women. So, we experience ecstasy when we're chanting Hare Krishna, because kirtan is an impetus for prema, just like Bhagavatam also, impetus for prema. The association of the devotees is an impetus for prema. Even if you don't have faith, it's still, you'll be, and especially in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya's benediction is that he gives Krishna prema freely, especially through Sankirtan. Krishna prema pradayate. Well, he gives Krishna prema to the most unqualified. This is because bhakti transcends everything, right? So, there's a lack of understanding of this spiritual identity. And even in the devotees, it appears that we're receiving the reactions to our past misdeeds. But actually they're not. They're a token directed personally by Krishna. Right? So even though the difficulties that a devotee faces, which look like their past karma, they're not. They're actually directed by Krishna himself. It's pretty far out, isn't it? That's why we shouldn't complain. Huh? We think, Krishna, I know what's best for me. And how come you're making so much trouble for me? Huh? See how proud we are. Huh? We're super puffed up. So how do we... So, you know, when somebody's giving us a hard time, it's almost impossible to not think, you know, how can this person be a devotee? They're giving me so much trouble. How is he a devotee? I'm a devotee. But he's a demon. Is what we'll think. Right? Whereas actually, that person's also being directed by Krishna. Oof. Got to chant very good rounds to see like that. And even it may take time. It takes time. Purification and whatever. So, now, can people understand this? Probably not. Well, but it is based on an understanding of karma. You know, and you know, like Prabhupada mentions that his teachers at Scott's College, you know, they're Christians. They would say, well, who's... Because they didn't appreciate this notion of karma. They would say, who's witnessing this? You know, who's keeping track of all of this? Right? And of course, Prabhupada says the super soul. And the super soul also is directing everybody else. Right? This is just amazing. It's like, this is just super amazing how this happens. And so, you know, the reactions that we're getting are ultimately directed by the super soul. And, you know, we're all here together purifying each other. Right? So if I'm giving you a hard time, that's for your benefit. And I'm getting pleasure out of giving you what you deserve. No, it shouldn't be like that. We should not be like that. As devotees, even though we may be the best people see themselves as the most fallen. No? That's what we're aspiring to. We shouldn't, what does Prabhupada say? Humility means not having the satisfaction of being glorified by others. That's an interesting concept, isn't it? Because we're thinking, they're all liking, they realise what a good person I am. We crave that sometimes. Huh? But look at Dhruva Maharaj's example. He said, I'm fallen. I'm sorry. Okay, Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Lord Nrisingadeva Ki Jai, Aranyakashipu.